This is Inside MSide, your favorite podcast for all things Morningside. Hear stories from students, alumni, faculty, and more about what makes the Morningside experience so special. Thank you for coming to an episode of Inside MSide, where we're talking with individuals that have made a difference on campus, gone on to do incredible things, or just tell unique stories about campus and our alumni and the people affiliated with it. And today we have Brittany and Julia. Brittany is an alum of Morningside College, now University, as well as her other half of Everyday Obsessed, Julia. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, most definitely. We're excited to hear. If you don't know about Everyday Obsessed, you got to check it out all over Instagram. I'm getting it on my feed. My fiance is sending me the posts, all kinds of different things. So you got to check them out. It's kind of in the influencer like space, and we'll talk a little bit more about the vibe and the angle and what you guys are doing in that space. But first and foremost, just tell me a little bit about yourself, the 30-second version of where you guys are living, what you do for a day job, and then we'll kind of dive into things a little bit deeper.
Okay. Well, I currently teach first grade at the dual language school here in Sioux City, and so does Julia, and that's how we met. But I live in Dakota Dunes with my husband and my three kids and my two dogs, and that's pretty much all I do is my kids and first grade and Everyday Obsessed.
And Instagram.
Yep.
Okay, our lives are very parallel. We teach at the same school. I teach third grade. I also have three kids. Our kids are the same ages, mm-hmm. and we're born at like the exact same time, same gender. My husband and I are both teachers. I come from a long family of teachers, and we all teach in Sioux City. And I went to North High and then went to the University of Iowa, and now I'm back in Sioux City.
Perfect. Gosh, it is. It's like a mirror image, right? Yeah. Like families and everything, interests.
Yeah.
It's the yin and yang, especially when you look at hair color. It's like, there you go. Yeah. It's the perfect match. I like
that. All the kids at school, I'm not kidding, multiple, like 25 kids have told us that we are sisters. And we're always like, what?
What are you seeing?
What makes us sisters? Yeah. Like, what is happening?
Oh, that's funny.
I think it's our height. Like, I feel like they think we're both tall, and
we teach very similar. I've seen her, like, we do teach a lot alike. So I think they just, we remind them.
It's crazy. Yeah, exactly. And then the students recognize things that maybe you didn't even recognize about yourself and pick up on it. I'm sure. Well, very cool. Well, thanks for joining us today. Now, Brittany, I want to get into the story and go back before we get to the Everyday Obsessed and the inception of that and where it's gone and where it's going. I really find it fascinating talking with our alumni a little bit about maybe what brought you to campus, what got you to Morningside, and what that experience was like. So let's start at the very beginning. What brought you or got you excited about Morningside that you decided to come here?
Oh, man. Okay. My dad was a basketball coach for my whole entire life. And so he would bring me to watch Morningside play basketball because I was very interested in playing basketball. And it was one of my favorite sports. So we would come watch Morningside women's basketball when I was growing up all the time. And I never had dreamed at that moment that I could ever even come here and play myself. So I was getting offers from Northwestern College, and that was honestly where I was going to go, and then Briarcliff, and then I was going to go there. And then at the very end, before I was making my decision, Jamie Sale calls me up, and I was just like, it was like a dream come true to me. Yeah. And I visited campus, and it all felt right. It really did. And so I came here, and I had the best 4 years of my life, to be honest. And I say that to anyone. Like, it was so much fun. I am the person I am because of Morningside, and I would tell anyone that.
I feel like you still are like, I want to go back to college.
I would totally go back to college.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and depending on the experience, who won? It's like, gosh, a little more carefree back in those days.
Yeah.
For
I mean,
sure.
I met my husband here. I met some of my lifelong friends here. And it's just made a huge mark in my life.
Yeah. Well, and you spoke to something that I think I've heard when talking to a lot of different alumni, and that's one of those where it doesn't matter what gets you to the door and when you walk through it, but then once you get on campus, something just clicks.
Yeah.
And so for you, it was, and for a lot of our students, quite frankly, I mean, it was athletics. It was the door opening and the opportunity to play basketball. But what was it when you stepped on campus? Was there anything in particular, or just kind of a feeling you had, a sense?
I mean, the campus was beautiful then, it's even more beautiful now. But compared to walking through other campuses, I won't mention any, but like yeah. it just has more of like a homey, like it just feels very homey and warm and inviting. And you get that feeling as soon as you come.
Yeah. Even if it's just for a visit, I talk to mm-hmm. people that it's like, if you're on the fence or even just trying to make a decision, once you come on campus, just trust your gut. You know what I mean? And you'll get that vibe, that feeling, and see if it's the place that's right for you.
And I will give some credit to Jamie and Jill because they were just, their vibe they gave me and the way we interacted was just much more comfortable than how I interacted with any other coach I talked to.
Yeah.
So the way they interacted with me or how they made me feel was a lot of it too.
Yeah. That's equally as important for yeah. sure. And so when you were thinking about making that decision, I'm sure first and foremost, obviously basketball is like right up there with mm-hmm. you're excited for that. But what were you thinking about as far as majoring? Did you know what you wanted to do? Were you looking at different things? What did you want to study?
I came undecided. Okay. Very, very undecided. Had no idea what I wanted to be. I grew up wanting to be a vet really, really bad. And then I decided basketball was more my avenue than even, I don't know, but I came and went to a bunch of different classes and I took a business class and absolutely hated it, dropped it the next day. And then I took an education class instead of that business class. And the first, you know, that first class with Chobar actually.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, I need to be a teacher. And my dad is a teacher and I'm a lot like my dad. So I think I probably was going to end up there anyways, but it was a pretty quick decision after I took those first couple classes.
Yeah, you got your feet wet and you yep. knew that it was in the blood.
It just felt right.
Yeah. yeah. And it's interesting how sometimes that does have to happen. I think, you know, when I visit with prospective students, we have that conversation where it's almost like you feel that immense pressure mm-hmm. to determine what your major is going to be. And you should have that idea. And especially nowadays. You know what I mean? Like you just have that pressure to know what you want to do the rest of your life. So usually I'm like, you're 17, you're 18, like slow down. Yes. It's going to be okay.
Some people change their majors like 2.5 years in and they're
exactly.
fine. Or change their careers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Completely.
And go a completely different direction that yeah. they didn't anticipate. And so mm-hmm. I've always harped that about Morningside that I really, really like that you can take classes in different areas. I mean, mm-hmm. I had a similar story of trying different classes and then finding kind of the one that fit and felt right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, you're playing basketball or on the team and you're taking some education classes. What kind of student were you or what was your experience like as a student?
Oh, man.
Or what stories can you share? Okay. You know that.
So in high school, my dad was my softball and my basketball coach. I did not do much else besides sports and hanging out with at home. You know, I didn't get into any trouble. I was a very good student in high school. Came to college and I broke out of my shell a little bit freshman year.
Where's this going?
I mean, I lived in Dimmitt and it was just so much fun. And on yeah. the basketball team, you have like a 48-hour rule. So there was no drinking, you know, 48 hours before a game. So there were Friday nights where we had to get very, very creative with what we did
yeah.
and how we spent our time. And so just we had good friends and had fun friends. So we did a lot of fun things. But I was a good student. If there were classes I didn't like, I didn't go to them all the time. Such as like anatomy,
and not for you.
Geography, things that I knew I didn't like, didn't have my interest. I would skip those classes once in a while. Modern dance,
once in a while, yeah, exactly.
Modern dance, word. Like
that's
can you?
Good. That's good.
But I was a pretty good student, like
yeah,
yeah,
and passionate about education. I'm sure that was instilled yeah. in you with your family.
Yeah, I didn't skip my education classes. That was one yeah. thing, but just the classes that didn't really matter to me.
I understand. Now, talk to me just a little bit about, because I mean, I go to a lot of basketball games and I obviously interact with a lot of the teams on campus, but gosh, that's like a family in and of itself. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Of when you are with those other players and with your coaches and stuff like that. Talk about that team kind of environment at Morningside, what that was like for you during your 4 years.
Oh my gosh. Those are like some of my best memories of my whole entire life were just those people I got to play with and the opportunity to play with people like Danny Gass and Autumn Bartle. Yeah. And then as a freshman and then building like and being on the court with Tadea Warden and Emily Christian, just like some really awesome people in general and good basketball players. And being coached by Jamie and Jill was a very like an honor. And I don't know, we were together all the time. all the time. I was best friends with everyone on the team. So I feel always bad because I don't really know a lot of people that worked on the basketball team. But I don't know. It was, like I said, some of the best memories. Like, I have dreams still of me playing basketball with those people. Because it was just so fun, so much fun.
Just something ingrained or left its imprint on you for sure.
Absolutely.
So I know that sometimes the team goes on trips or does different things. I mean, was there any memory, whether it was a single victory or, you know, like one trip or anything like that? Was there anything that, I mean, just really solidified that in your mind or stood out more than the others?
The trips were a lot. I mean, we went to Hawaii and that was that was amazing because I probably will never get back. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever get back there, but I probably wouldn't have gone there, you know, on my own.
Especially with like a team of your friends.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, we were all almost of drinking age. So there was like a group of us that were 21 that got to go out in Hawaii together. And the other ones had to stay at the hotel, but that was fun. And San Antonio was really, really, really fun too. That's a cool city. And we were freshmen then, so we didn't play. So we kind of got to just like have a vacation while, you know, all the good older players, we just watched them. But I think winning the national championship, even though I was sitting on the bench and handing water to those seniors, that was like the coolest thing ever in my whole life.
It was. Because what year was that? When
2008, right? 2009.
Yeah. Yep.
So, it was my freshman year, and I was at the end of the bench, and we were giving water to them, and it was, I don't know, it was still just amazing, so.
Yeah, and just such a storied program, you know, I think that that's one of the things that stands out. I was talking to you earlier about some other episodes we've done of Inside M-Side, and just talking with our older faculty members, or maybe people that have been instrumental in some of the transitions that you talked about on campus. And one of those was athletics, you know, and we talked about going from D2 to NAIA and what that looked like. And in a lot of ways, it meant winning, you know, like we started actually winning and developing a program. And the first one that was right up there, I mean, to just that national level was girls basketball.
Yeah.
And so to have that experience, I mean, what do you remember from the tournament itself? As a freshman, I'm sure it was bright lights and, you know, like trying to take everything
in. The brightest lights. Oh, my God. It just, well, you know what I remember the most is the week after we won, because it was like we were all just celebrities. Like, you didn't have to go to class. Like, we just did whatever we wanted because everyone was just like, it was just so much excitement.
So much buzz around it.
It was like, it's like a blur in my mind that week after, because I don't remember going to class once. I remember just like partying with the whole team for like a week straight. And it was just like, everyone was just like, you had worked so hard, and for those seniors too. And then for me to know that I have 3 more years to try and do that again or to work towards that again was just like so exciting.
Just inspiring, you know? Yeah. I mean, especially just, I think on the basketball team to obviously reach that, but then also, I mean, I know a lot of those players you're talking about and the leadership that they exuded, you know, I mean, gosh, there was those hard-nosed, I mean, they were the putting the work in type of players for sure that were leading their effort to ultimately get them at that level. So for you to be right there watching that, I'm sure was powerful.
Yeah, it was very surreal. And I never imagined as a little girl being in that position ever in my life, so.
Yeah, well, and especially you said come in with your dad to watch games and everything, and then to be right there on that national stage. And
So then it definitely inspired me, because as a freshman, I sat on the bench. Obviously, there was very good players. But then there were games where I was the only player. No offense, Jamie and Jill. But I was the only player that did not get in at the end of the game. Like, you know those, you know, we're ahead by a lot. Let's put in these kids at the end.
They're like, but not pretty.
I was like literally a couple of games of the only person with my warm-up still on.
You should have just taken it off.
Yeah. I'm going in. I don't care.
Like, I did go in. No. And then my sophomore year, the summer before my sophomore year, I just worked my butt off, and I ended up starting my sophomore year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I stayed here on campus that summer and did everything. I did everything they asked me to, and I worked really, really hard to get that starting position. Yeah. And it paid off for sure.
Wow.
So I guess I was really inspired. I never even thought about that, but like, why else would I work that hard, I guess?
Yeah, and just be so determined.
Yeah.
To say, you know what, no matter what happens, because I think you see that even with our athletics now. I mean, we're getting record enrollments, a lot of people coming, and mm-hmm. they might have been stars in high school, you know, and then yeah. they get to this level. And I mean, when you're talking football or other sports or things like that, I mean, not everyone can play.
No.
But if you put your nose down, if you work really hard, I mean, you saw it really come to fruition with you.
Yeah, and it feels good when it pays off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to butcher the quote, but President Reinders was always saying, not everyone's going to be the role model or the key, play a key role, but everyone has a role to play.
Yeah.
You know, and just was, you saw that. You saw that you weren't going to be the starter or something your freshman year, but then you worked hard to fill those gaps when people were graduating.
And there's like something that sticks in my mind by Leslie Forrell. She was the senior.
Yeah.
And so she, we were all, you know, the freshmen at the end of the bench after the national championship, we were kind of like, oh, you guys won this, not us. Like we could just had that mindset because we weren't doing anything. And she said, no, who did we practice against every day? You guys. Like, you guys are a part of this team. And she just, like, made it known that we were part of that team and we were part of that championship. And so people like that, like, that's just an awesome person to, like, come to the freshman and make them feel like they're part of this experience too. So that made everything for us, just that one comment from her.
Yeah. Just showing that everyone, no matter, they yeah, all
even have if you weren't on the play. Court, like, you mattered a yeah. lot.
And got everyone to where they were at that moment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So then fast forward, I mean, you keep continuing on, obviously, with basketball and classes, and then eventually get to student teaching. And was it everything you imagined? I mean, then you were in your element. Was it scary? What was that like as you were starting to enter the classroom? I mean, I feel at Morningside, we get you involved pretty early on, at least with those opportunities.
It was hard, to be honest, because it was during basketball season when I was student teaching. So then once I took on 7 weeks of full-time teaching, I was full-time teaching, and then right after that, I had to go either play a game or practice for 2 hours and then go write my lesson plans after that for student teaching. That was some of the hardest, like, times, and I know, thinking back on it, that I put more into student teaching than basketball my senior year during that time, because once you hit, like, your senior year, you start thinking about your future then, you know, teaching is my future, basketball's yeah. not. So then, like, I think, like, subconsciously, I started leaning – putting more of my heart into the student teaching experience then, and I just didn't have a lot left for basketball. So, like, I wish I could have, because my senior year was – I fouled out my last game and literally had, like, 3 points, and it was just, like, one of the worst games. But I can't, like – I don't know, think about that. But yeah. I know that I for sure put more energy into teaching.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it
you
was,
saw it,
it
as
it
your future.
It was hard. And I didn't know it was going to be that hard. Like, literally nobody told me how hard that was going to be to balance those two.
Yeah.
I wish I would have known that, I guess.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, especially at Morningside, we pride ourselves on having rigorous programs. I mean, you know, we want to make sure that we're graduating the best and the brightest. And so I know they're pushing you in the classroom. And then I know coaches work ethic. I know that we are not going to be gassed on any court, because we make sure to push our players hard so they have that extra gear.
Yeah, I came into the program with 15 girls in my freshman class on the basketball team and graduated with 3.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and some of them were nurses, so they just put more energy into nursing. It was the same thing. Like, you just had to kind of pick a path, and some people, like, just decided that basketball wasn't the path they wanted to take.
Yeah, because it can be tough to balance.
Well, you have to absolutely love it. I always tell someone that, like, high schoolers, I'm like, if you're going to play a sport in college, you absolutely have to love it so, so much.
Yeah.
Because it will take everything out of you.
Yeah. So, your senior year comes to a close. You're looking for that first job. Did you stay right around here right after graduating, or what was the first job like?
Oh, my gosh. It was awful. It wasn't awful. It was great people, but I lived here in Sioux City, and I drove to Odebo, Iowa, 72 miles there, 72 miles back, to teach 6th and 8th grade reading, which I absolutely hated teaching.
Was there no openings in Sioux City?
Or? I got actually an assistant coaching job at East High for basketball first. Then I got this teaching job in Odebo. And so then I was like, I can't, there's absolutely no way I could get back to help out with basketball. So I had to just stop that and take the teaching job. And yeah, I just couldn't find anything in Sioux City. And I just took the first job that I was offered, honestly. because I just wanted
happy
a job.
To have you job happy yep. to have a job.
So I never had to sub, which is great, but that was a very long year. Oh my god, it was a lot of driving.
Yeah,
it was awful.
Yeah, a lot of windshield time. And it was probably before podcasts and some of those different things.
Yeah.
It was listening to a lot of music, I'm sure.
Yeah. I always say the way there wasn't bad because you're like waking up an hour and 15 minutes if I was speeding. Like I should have been there in like an hour and a half there and then an hour and a half to get home every single day.
I can't picture you teaching sixth or seventh grade.
No, it was really bad.
Yeah. So when
really,
did you,
really bad.
When did you, what was the next job then?
Okay. So then I just resigned and I was like, I'll just sub in Sioux City.
Did
I'm
you
just,
stick out the year?
I did stick okay. out the whole year, whole year. And then I resigned right at the end. I was like, I'll just be okay subbing in Sioux City. I'm not driving to a job that I don't even want to be at. You know, there's great people there. I had a lot. I learned a lot. So I shouldn't say it was awful,
But yeah. you were making a sacrifice, that's for sure, for
Absolutely.
That first
I was spending a lot of money on gas. Oh, my yeah. goodness. And then I got just called up by Jody Vanderloo, who was the principal at Irving at the time. And she just, it was kind of who you knew. Like, she knew my dad, and she knew my name, and she just wanted to meet with me. And then she offered me a kindergarten position. So I went from 6th and 8th grade to kindergarten, and that was absolutely crazy. But I've been there ever since. So
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And then is that when you met the yin to your yang or your
it was like 2 years later. I was in kindergarten and I would come into this interview room and Julia's sitting at the end and I was like, dang, her shirt is so cute.
Yeah, right, there you go.
She's so well dressed. No, I seriously thought that.
And you remember that.
And her, yeah. she interviewed so well, and we all were like, yes, we need her. And so we hired her right away. And
okay, but I played sports in high school, too, and we totally played against each other. So I knew exactly who she was.
Yeah. I'm really, really? Bad at names. Really bad at names. I
must just not have stuck out.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah. You're like, oh, I know that girl.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of my young, like, I hung out in high school with people who were 1 year younger than me because they were more of a sports class than my class.
A little bit younger.
And so she's younger. And so she knew a lot of my, we had a lot of mutual friends.
Yep.
But I didn't know that until we talked about it. But.
And so was this your first job, Julia, coming to Sioux City?
I taught in Omaha at a dual language school and then came to Sioux City after that.
Okay. Yep. And so then obviously you got the job,
yep.
right? And you guys started working together. And just kind of hit it off, became quick friends.
Yeah.
I mean, also, our friends group kind of became our husband. I feel like our husbands weren't really good friends, but they were like in the same friend group. So we kind of became a friend group outside of, actually, I like joined your friend group.
Yeah. I had a group of girls that all of our husbands were really good friends. And so we'd hang out. And so then Julia kind of joined that group.
Because I knew a girl from that group. And then so we kind of started hanging out outside and then we also worked together. But I would say we didn't become close until like our second year teaching together.
No, even after that, I think it was more, she had Tommy, her first, and then 4 months later I had Jack. And so then we talked a bunch about them, mm-hmm. just like as they were growing up because it was our first child. And so we talked a ton about our sons and then... we just definitely clicked. It was just easy, and we started hanging out outside of school. Yep.
Yeah. And how long ago would that have been then?
Like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Yeah, I've been at Irving for 9, so you've been there for 7 probably. Yeah. Yeah, so probably like 5 years ago is when we like really started being really close friends.
Okay. So you become close friends. You're hanging out a little bit more, and then – I mean, now what people know you as, I mean, it is like the dynamic duo, right, of Everyday Obsessed. For the listeners that maybe don't know what that is or haven't followed you yet or something, just give me the rundown. In layman's terms, what is Everyday Obsessed?
Wow, it has changed a bunch.
Yeah.
It started out as just like, we want to share fashion. And we even said at one point, like, let's not put our kids on there at all. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't want to see our kids, you know?
Yeah, we just wanted... just specifically fashion at first.
Because that was what a lot of influencing was fashion. And so that's where we started. No kids, no husbands, no nothing else, no teaching. And then eventually it was just like, we have to put our kids on here because they're around us all the time. Mm-hmm.
And so, I feel like Instagram has just evolved so much. Like there weren't even stories right when we started. There were just posts. So we would just take pictures on the weekends, post them throughout the week because we had our full-time job. And so, yeah, it was all fashion. Yep. So I feel like as Instagram has changed throughout us doing this, like, also what we put out there has changed a lot.
And our lives have changed dramatically since, you know, we went from two kids right when we started. We had just had our second kids, and now we have three. And so things just got really busy.
And we just had to really adapt what we're doing to our lives. Like, we can't, we don't have all this time to do it separate. So they just have to intertwine.
So basically, to answer your question, it's like a...
Oh, yeah.
We're like... I don't know. I feel like we're just showing like our life.
Yeah.
We're just really sharing our life. And
a lot of people call us like relatable, a lot of mom things, teacher things. Recently, we've been just showing what we're wearing to work, which a lot of people like and ask us for a lot. So
I think we both, the reason we became really good friends is because we both like to express, like everyone expresses themselves in different ways. And we express ourselves through like what we wear. You know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why, like, I noticed her right away because I was like, wow, she put a lot of thought into what she's wearing. And some people just, you know, throw things on and walk out the door, which is fine because then you have other ways to express yourself. But that's how we express ourselves. And so we're sharing that with other moms, other teachers, and anybody. And now I know, like, high schoolers follow us. And, like, 40-year-olds follow us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think we have a lot of relatable things in our life. Whether you're a teacher or a mom or just someone who also really likes fashion.
Yeah. Or if, yeah, you're exactly right. If, even if you just appreciate it, right? You know, you appreciate that. So it's kind of like that influencer space meets lifestyle blogger meets, you know, two moms killing it. You know what I mean? Like inspiration in that sense. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you just need inspiration to know you can do all of these things.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And so I got to imagine, I mean, you alluded to it, I think, Julia, talking about even the evolution of stories, right? Like how that has changed. I mean, was this pretty early on with, I don't remember when Instagram even started or became a relevant thing, but I mean, was it fairly nuanced and you guys were like, I kind of like this, or was there inspiration? You saw people doing this, so you were like, we could do this.
Yeah, we definitely saw people. Yeah. There was a lot of people like blogging on Instagram, and we were both following a lot of those type of accounts. And so we would joke about like, we should do this. And then it just never, we just never actually did it. And then one day I was like, I texted her while we were at school and I was like, we just need to do it. And she's like, yep, let's do it.
It's like you just keep looking at other people's things and you're like, why am I spending my time scrolling other people's Instagram when you feel like I could be doing just as well? Like, I might as well spend the time making my own rather than wasting my time like looking at other people's things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that is exactly how it started. Yeah, we had been following the same fashion bloggers. Instagram, there was so many already. Like, Instagram started when I was a sophomore in college. So
I was a senior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it had been a while.
Yeah, you'd gotten accustomed to it, maybe follow the same stuff, were inspired or seeing similar things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of I can do that type of mentality.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot now. I mean, at Morningside, talking with students that, you know, sitting in the same seat right now and thinking about what they want to do or how they can maybe diversify their skills or revenue streams or what have you. And they want to do some of those things. I mean, obviously neither of you went to college for social media, for marketing, for any of that, or even fashion. You just have an appreciation for that. So tell me a little bit about maybe the background that helped with that, or was it just consuming that content? Was there anything in particular that stood out to you that kind of poised you to be successful at something like this?
Oh my God. I think just we're both so flexible in this, and like we work so well as a team that we're both just willing to learn anything and do anything it takes to like keep this going because it's so fun for us. And I wish we would have gone to college to learn anything about marketing or business or fashion because this has been such a learning curve. There's so much we've had to learn. And that's why we're changing things all the time is because we want to, like, we just learn new things. We learn how to make it more successful. And it is like a business. We have to sit down and literally, like, get in a business mindset and talk about business type things because that's – if we don't, then it's just going to – it's going to go away at some point. You have to be very strategic when you're trying to be successful.
And I think I used to always just YouTube, like, how to edit pictures, or, you know, people were putting out YouTube tutorials, so I would watch those. Even before Instagram was a thing, I would follow, like, just blogs of, I don't know, fashion blogs, but Instagram wasn't even a thing, and I would just search them on the internet on my, like, laptop all the time, because I was just so interested in it. I didn't even think, I don't think I knew that could even, like, maybe if I went to college again, I would major in something like that. But at that time, there wasn't, like, when I was a freshman, I mean, there probably was, but yeah, there wasn't Instagram. So I wasn't, like, I didn't know about all of those opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, now, gosh, there's so many different classes, majors, things, you know, of people getting in that space. And so just having a passion for it. I mean, it's cool to see you guys adapt and be able to evolve and change with those times and the trends, you know what I mean? To see what's coming and going.
Yes.
So what specific majors does Morningside have that someone could?
Yeah. So, I mean, none specific to like lifestyle blogging maybe or something, but gosh, we have classes that focus on social media and different marketing sides and things like that. Or you also look at content creation that happens, gosh, even with mass communication, you're creating content of a very different medium, but you know, you might be learning some of those similar skills, which I think is kind of cool. And we as colleges and universities need to continue to adapt and adjust with the times and recognize maybe what people are hungry for. I know our business faculty talks about that, thinks about that, and is looking at shifting some curriculum stuff to make sure we can make it happen too.
Yeah, even like brands we've worked with, like that's just a whole new, like they have to find the influencers that they think would represent their brand. Like there's just so many different jobs within it, right? Even if you don't want to be the influencer, but just within finding the marketing.
Yeah. So what's something that most people probably don't know about what it's like to kind of run an account like Everyday Obsessed? Because I feel like people, you know, oh my gosh, it's got to be so glamorous. It's so amazing. What's the nitty gritty?
It's a lot harder than people think. It's a lot more time consuming than people think. I mean, you can ask our husbands, like we have to like kind of warn them when we need to be out of the house and you're with the three kids so we can go like take pictures of each other. Cause it kind of sounds weird unless you understand that we have to create that content. We have to get out of our house and do that. And so that's when we were talking about involving it a little bit more, we've made it more and more of our everyday life to make it more easier that way. So we don't have to leave our families as much. We're trying to integrate that so it's easier for us to create content, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What specifically comes to my head is just what we're doing right now is just like our outfits in the morning. And it just takes so much planning. And then also to get our three kids ready and get out to the door, because you're having to like take these clips of, we're just creating these reels of what we're wearing before school. Take the clips. And then we wanted to have screenshots of the, so then we have to go to the, all the websites of like the, where I got my shoes, where I got my pants, screenshot them, edit them smaller, upload them. We, before we did it, we were like, okay, how many seconds do we want each of these to be so that it looks consistent on our feed? So then you have to add all the text, change all of the, like, it's just such a long process. And I was just thinking that this morning. I was like, if only people knew how long this little 30-second video took me to make, then
that we're doing before work, after, you know.
And then, like, someone else just gets to just, like, watch it and be like, oh, that was cool, and then go to the next one, and it's, like, not taking even like me it. Forever.
Yeah, it's like, I put all of that time and energy into this, and you're not even going to give me a like.
Yeah, you can't even tap that little heart.
Exactly. And so thinking along that same line, I mean, it is a passion project, but it's also time consuming. What's one piece of advice you would give someone that's thinking about entering that space or wants to enter that space?
Just be persistent and don't give up. I mean, you see people start it and then it just like teeters off because then they just like lose their motivation for it. There have been definitely times where we have lost our motivation, but it's usually one of us. And then the other one's like, no, come on, come on, come on. It's never been like both of us are down about it. It's usually one takes a break and the other one picks up the slack or pumps the other person up. And the team effort here, like I would never, ever, ever do this by myself. But so I think if you have a buddy, definitely find a buddy.
I think being
especially if you have kids or you have another job, you need someone else to help you do it. It's very hard. It would be so hard to do it by yourself.
Or even talking to someone who's doing the same thing or who wants to do the same thing to bounce ideas back and forth on. And I think just being persistent and consistent, like once you try something, if it doesn't work for like 2 weeks, keep doing it. Like that's one thing that we've learned. We're like, we got to try this for at least 3 months. And then if it's still not working, and we are just basing things off working right now based off like follower count, things like that. But
I was going to say, talk to me about that with Everyday Obsessed. I mean, you guys are getting pretty big and finding your own space. I mean, and getting quite a few followers. Is that exciting? What would you say is Everyday Obsessed like crowning achievement or the greatest achievement you think you've reached so far?
I think we have all of our followers are actual like really, really good followers that want to be there. And we've noticed that lately because we get very discouraged about the follower count because it's like stuck. It just gets stuck.
To someone else, it might look like, oh my gosh, they have so many. And to us, we're like, we were hoping to be at 20,000 by the end of last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just.
That was our goal and it didn't happen. Didn't even get close to happening.
But then we always have to tell ourselves like our messages with these people that we don't even know. And we're like friends with these people. And like, that's what matters is that our followers are engaging with us. They're like actual people that we are like friends now.
Yeah. The DMs.
They know our families. They're like involved in our lives.
Yep. The messages have been a huge part of why we even keep doing this. The people who message us and make us feel like they want us to be there and that they something we did like really, really helped them or made a difference in their life or they bought something that we love or something we shared about our kids like was super relatable to them and made them feel better about their situation. I mean, we've gotten a lot of really, really nice messages and we say that all the time. That's something we're really grateful for.
And keeps you going.
Yep.
So what's next? What's on deck for Everyday Obsessed?
Shoot, we have no idea.
What's the sneak peek?
We're also like not planners. We just really go with the flow.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to Sonoma next weekend.
We are.
With these two vloggers that we met on the internet and have never met in person. It's not, I mean, we're doing some like, we get to go to a winery and we have to post some content. Yeah. I mean, that's just like really near future.
There's like two girls the same age as us and they're best friends. They don't live in the same city, but they're both nurses and it's like very similar situation. And we've followed them. They followed us for a couple years now and we're finally going to meet them face to face and hang out. And that's what we're excited about right now. But
besides that, I feel like just continue to share our life.
Yep.
We usually at the beginning of the year like set some goals and do some things and we did not do that this year.
No, we didn't. We're just going to roll with it, see what happens.
It's so hard. We're so busy. I don't know. We're so busy.
I feel like lately the community, like Sioux City has been very like eyes on us. Like we've just gotten a lot of like local people reaching out. So I don't know what's in the future, but I don't know.
But cheers to that, right?
We'll see.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Well, hey, Brittany and Julia, we really appreciate you being here, sharing the story of Everyday Obsessed. Brittany, sharing your story about Morningside and becoming a national champion and just the work and everything you put into becoming a teacher and how Morningside led you to get there. I think both are such great stories, and we really appreciate you being on Inside M-Side, sharing that journey, and we wish you nothing but the best moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for having us.